Shalom, Rabbi Galperin.
How are you, Ilan?
I'm fine. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Always great. Always
good. So you celebrated your birthday last week.
Yes, thank you. It was really nice. And thank you for coming. My wife did a really beautiful job. She surprised me.
She did a great job.
So it was really nice. And the spending it with friends and everything was beautiful. So it was beautiful. And I don't stop talking about it. It was really nice. Thank God.
That's good. Okay. So, Chayei Sarah, that's our parasha this week.
That's right. Chayei Sarah, talking about the life of Sarah. You know, it talks about this week, talking about how Sarah dies at the age of 127.
Yeah.
And obviously, she's then buried in Machpelah, in Marat Machpelah, in the grave in Hebron, correct, which Abraham purchased from Ephron for 400 shekels of silver.
Yeah.
And he made sure he didn't want it to be in a way that it should be coming as a, you know, a nice gesture from Ephron that, you know, yeah, I'm just going to give it to you. He's like, I want to be able to pay for it to make sure it's mine. You're not going to take it away. And as the parsha goes along, we see that Abraham's servant Eliezer is sent laden, you know, with gifts to Haran to find a wife for Isaac. And at the village well, Eliezer asks God for a sign that when the maidens come to the well, he will ask them for some water to drink. And the woman who will offer to give his camel to drink as well,
she will be the one.
Correct. She will be destined to marry his master's son. And we then see as the story goes on, Rebecca come out, and you know she offers the camels and him and so on and so forth. And Rebecca takes him back to... And Eliezer takes Rebecca back to meet his master, and Isaac marries her, loves her, and she sort of takes the place of his mother Sarah, which
died not so long ago.
Correct, and you know there were three things in her tent that were always always constant. You know, the cloud of glory was there, the candles were lit from week to week. And the challah, the bread, was always strong. Once she died, all those things stopped. However, when Rebecca came in, it all continued again.
Yeah.
You know, there's a famous saying that says, God helps those who help themselves. And, you know, some people deny the fact that God is really behind and in our success. You know, you always hear... I remember hearing a rabbi that was telling me that he heard a conversation that a self-proclaimed atheist who used the expression, you know, very, very cynically, suggesting that everything that he had, all of his achievements, was entirely his own, and that God had nothing to do with it. And I think that ideology, that constant train of thought that, you know, me and then God really doesn't have anything to do with it, is really not right. Because, in my mind, God helps those who help themselves. And really, that is a perfectly religious statement. Because what it means is that God does indeed help us to accomplish things, but he requires us to help ourselves first. Because if we just sit back and wait for miracles to happen, we may be disappointed. And we read also in Dvarim, in Deuteronomy, that God will bless you in all that you do. And that makes it very clear that our blessings come from God, however we must do. And, of course, you know, we believe in miracles. However, we can't rely on them. Because the combination of our own hard work and the effort, coupled with God's blessing, is ideal, is a real road, really, to success.
For success, yeah.
You know, you have the classic example of a farmer, that he can plow and plant, you know, sow and schwitz and work hard from today until tomorrow. But if the rain doesn't come, nothing will grow.
Yeah.
So, all the rains in the world will not cause anything to grow if the farmer, on the other hand, didn't plant anything. So after the farmer has done his work, and the rains come from above, then there'll be plenty of food. And it's the same story whether we are farmers or businessmen or shopkeepers, whatever it may be. If we aren't going to first plant the seeds, lay the foundation, whatever's going to come from above, if we don't do that, it's not going to work. And, you know, we could even take it a step further. That there are religious ideologies that frown upon medical intervention when someone is ill.
Yeah.
And they see it as a lack of faith in the great healer of flesh, which is who? Which is God. However, Judaism, the Torah maintains that while God is indeed the supreme healer, he chooses to work through the efforts of the trustworthy medical professionals, the doctors. And we see that in this week's Torah portion, the Torah tells us of Isaac taking Rebekah as his wife. And Isaac brought her to the tent of Sarah, his mother, says in the Pasuk. And Rashi, quoting the Midrash, explained this to mean more than the obvious. Why? Because when she entered the tent, it was as if she was Sarah, Isaac's mother.
Yeah.
Because Sarah was of such saintly character. She was granted, as we talked about earlier, three special miracles. Her Shabbat candles burned the entire week. Her dough was particularly blessed.
She had good challahs.
Exactly. And a heavenly cloud attached itself to her tent. When Sarah died, these blessings disappeared. However, when Rebecca arrived on the scene, they resumed immediately. And in fact, this was a clear sign, as it brought down to Isaac, that Rebecca was indeed a soulmate, and that the shidduch was made in heaven.
Yeah, it says, "Vayikach et Rivka, v'tehilu leisha, v'yaveh, v'inachem Yitzchak acharei imo." After his mom. Yeah.
Right. Now, what you just read now is such an important verse, because if you read it, what happens? He takes Rivka to the tent as his wife.
Yeah.
And she takes the place of her mother. Vayahav, when does the love come in? Only after.
Yeah.
Why? Because to build, you know, you hear this expression of love at first sight. It's not necessarily love at first sight.
No, she was his woman, and then vayahavea.
Why? Because love takes a long time to develop.
Yeah.
Takes a long time to develop that love.
Yeah.
Develop. So what we see is not really love at first sight. It's lust at first sight. And that's what the Torah is telling us. And that's why you see, unfortunately, so many people, they marry, and then a couple of months later they divorce, or a year or two later. Why? Because there wasn't that real love. It wasn't love. That's what the Torah is telling us. Vayahav. When does the Vayahav come? Only after when he takes him to his wife.
Yeah.
And he's nice to her. And they're able to live on, you know, build a strong foundation. Have the same common ground. Only then, Vayahav. But going back onto our topic, which is based on the same thing of that, how important Rivka was and how Isaac really had that love for her. And each of these miracles, however, they still required some sort of human input first. A candle and a fire had to be found. The dough had to be prepared. And the tent had to be pitched before God would intervene and make those miracles happen. In other words, he does help us, but we must help ourselves first.
Yeah.
We have to. It's, you know, it's like the small little story of a person who would make a prayer always to God every week that he should win the lottery. And after many months and no jackpot in sight, he lost his faith and his patience. And in anguish, disappointment, he really let down his frustration to God and says, for months I've been praying to you. Why haven't you helped me win the lottery all this time? So what happens? The heavenly voice, he's heard. He hears the heavenly voice saying, because you haven't bought the ticket, you dummy. First buy the ticket, then God can help you. If you're not going to buy the ticket, God can't help you.
Yeah.
So obviously it would be beautiful to win the lottery. Just pray to God and everything that we get the lottery. But God helps those who help themselves.
Yeah.
And we have to do our part. Then God will join in. And that's what we see with this response of Rebecca and Isaac. And Isaac knew, maybe in his heart said this, but he needed a sign. He had to first make the vessel to bring Rebecca in to the tent. He had to, Rebecca still had to first do the things. Only then did the miracles continue happening, and then he knew, that's it. I know Rebecca's going to be my wife, because she's such a holy lady. So he had to first make the vessel to be able to receive those blessings. That's what we have to do in our lives. We have to first make the blessing, the vessel, in order to be able to receive the blessing. If we don't buy the lottery ticket, it's such a powerful story. If we don't buy the lottery ticket, we're not going to win. Nope. You can pray from today till tomorrow. You're not going to win. And that's an important lesson, I think, that we can learn from this historic portion. Yep. How amazing it is, the life of Sarah, and how we, and Rebecca, maybe emulated who Sarah really was, and who she herself was.
That's nice. Another beautiful parasha.
Oh, it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. But you know, Ilan, we're getting very close to Hanukkah.
Yeah.
And we are going to do this year, as in the past, a very, very big menorah in the Devonshire Mall. And it's being sponsored. It's a joint effort by the Shai Tzedek, Shai Shemayim Congregation Bethel. Everyone's
good.
Joining and everyone's part being part of it. We're going to have, obviously, dignitaries. Hopefully we'll have the mayor if it's coincides with his schedule, which is going to be Wednesday, December 21st, the second night of Hanukkah at 4 o'clock, and it's free admission. And this year's theme, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be building Windsor's largest Lego menorah.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be really, really cool. The whole community is invited.
So our listeners, please start to find your Legos at home. You gotta bring them. We have to build the menorah.
That's right. So it will be beautiful. You know.
Yeah. And just to let everybody know, that please tell us what we're going to do with the Legos.
Right. No. Well, God willing, we're going to donate the Legos to the pediatrics, the children, the floor of the hospital of Met. God willing.
That's great. That's good.
So we'll always try and do something that we're able to incorporate doing a good deed in the community. And I think that's one of the important things. Last year we did the can drive. This year we did Lego menorah. So I encourage everyone to come out. It'll be a lot of fun. And definitely be exciting to make the menorah out of Lego.
We will keep mentioning it so people will hear and will come.
Right. And obviously, you know, you'll have all the things that come along with Hanukkah, the music and the baskets and the jelly donuts and the chocolate Hanukkah coins and crafts for the kids. So it's going to be a beautiful event. So December 21st.
I'm sure it will. And Rabbi, what about services in Shaarei Tzedek?
So services we're going to have Friday evening is 6 p.m. and Shabbat morning is 9 a.m. Obviously, everyone's welcome regardless of affiliation and background. And that's the story.
That's good. So, Rabbi, have a Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, you too. And God willing, we will looking forward to talk next week.
God willing. Thank you.
Be well. Have a good Shabbos.
You too.